How would you like to learn a secret about living longer? And not just living longer, because people can live a long time taking a variety of drugs to extend their life while having a very low level of quality of life. So, but how would you like to learn a secret today about living longer, but also living well? So not just increasing your lifespan, but increasing your health span. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Welcome back to another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Rice, health expert and coach to entrepreneurs, CEOs, and other high-performing professionals. And what we do on this show is we break down science-based information on how to prevent disease, lose fat, and live a longer, healthier, legendary life. So if that's what you're into, you're in the right place. Click the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts so that when one of my episodes comes out or one of my Real Talk Fridays comes out, you will be the first to know. So today's a Real Talk Friday. I'm not going to be talking so much about the research, although, you know me, I can't help myself but to talk about a study or two. We're going to be talking about a mistake that people make when approaching this whole idea of longevity. And let me tell you, this idea of longevity, living longer, living well, health, it's never been more important. That's one of the quote unquote gifts, if you will, that the coronavirus has given us, is that it stopped. I mean, I think about this, and I'm sure you have, but our entire world economy came to a screeching halt. Why? Because health. That's why. Because people were getting sick, people were dying, and it was spreading fast and continues to spread fast in the second wave. And I don't know about you, I'm already in the health business, and my interest in health and longevity and not succumbing to sickness, not suffering through being ill. I want to do what I can about it. So my whole interest has taken up another level. And I mean, I didn't even think I could be even more interested in health and living better, living longer than I already was. And I'm sure it's done the same to you. In fact, it's so hot that I've seen a lot of people, a lot of influencers, a lot of doctors, they're putting out this like live longer longevity series. It's such a hot thing right now. And I want to share something with you. When we think about longevity, when we think about living longer, living better, living stronger, we think about, I mean, what's the first thing? Like, what are the first things that come to your mind? And go ahead, say them out loud if you don't mind. We think about exercise, right? We think about, oh, how much exercise, what types of exercise, how frequently should I exercise? And certainly, that's super important when it comes to longevity. Another thing that people think about is nutrition. Oh, what should I eat? What are the superfoods? What's the perfect diet? What's the perfect combination of foods that I could eat to never get sick ever and to live, decades longer, live to 120 and never get sick? What is that diet? Can you put something together and sell that to me? And people do it, right? And if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, especially in the past few months, I've talked about something called the biopsychosocial approach to health. Now, it's not something I made up. And I think that's kind of nerdy sounding, and I am a nerd, but it's a holistic approach to health. So it's not just about the biology, not just about, hey, what's your status of vitamin D and vitamin C and other nutrients in your body, other vitamins and minerals in your body. It's not just about your blood chemistry. It's not just about how much you exercise. It's not just about the supplements you take. It's not just about the foods you eat. It's about the psychological effects of our lives on our longevity. And it's also about the social effects, the psychological and the social effects. And if you're like me, or like how I was, is what I should say 10, 15, 20 years ago, you would say stress, oh, that's bullshit. You know, don't talk to me about stress. Just tell me what are the supplements that I need to take? What's the exercise workout? What's the perfect program that I need to follow? And what's the best diet to follow? Don't talk to me about stress. Don't talk to me about relationships. Don't talk to me about any of that stuff. Now, fast forward to where I am now in 2021, quick sip of ginger tea there. And I'm not thinking as much about the biology anymore because it's pretty straightforward. At least what's straightforward about it is the 20% of what you do that gives you the 80% of results, the Pareto principle, right? And if you've never heard that before, which I'm sure you have, it's the idea that the majority of the results, now it doesn't matter if it's 20% of what we do gives us the 80% or the 27% gives us the, you know, 73%, whatever the ratio is. But the idea is this, there are a few key things that give us the majority of the results that we have. And then a lot of what we do beyond that gives us very, very small improvements, right? Gives us very little return on the investment of time, energy, and money. So working out consistently would be a very high return. It's part of the 20% that gives you, let's say if you have a habit that you do some exercise every day, and it doesn't have to be high intensity interval training or the 5x5 or strong lifts or 5-3-1 or CrossFit or anything like that. But you do something, whether it's taking a walk on the treadmill, going for a walk outside, swimming, something every day for 30 minutes. Now that's a habit that is part of the 20% of what you do that'll give you 80% of the results. Just get up, just move, just do something. But what do we like to do is we like to say, okay, well, I already have that habit in place. So let me get deeper into the details. Let me go down the rabbit hole a bit. What is the perfect optimal ratio of intervals to do when it comes to high intensity interval training? How do I structure my program? And listen, those details, they do matter. You can get to a point where I think it's just what you would call mental masturbation. And if you've never heard that term, what it is you're really just sort of lost in the fantasy of about all the things that you could do for your health and all the little tweaking that you do, but it really doesn't give you that much benefit. It's just, and by the way, if you're into biohacking or you know that biohacking community, they do a lot of this. They're shining light on their genitals, infrared light on their genitals. They're breathing in molecular hydrogen and doing all these things. And it's just like, well, what is that really doing for you? And in a lot of cases, the answer is nothing except taking away time you could spend on other areas of health that desperately need attention. And that comes to the secret that I wanted to share with you. So if you haven't read the book Blue Zones, I recommend it. I do have my issues with the Blue Zones dude, Dan Buettner, although it would be great to have him on the show. And it's not so much with him, but his business. And it's a issue that I understand. I understand why he does it. But so he talks about these nine different, the power nine, right? These nine different habits that he found that these cultures that have a high proportion of centenarians. So let me just rewind a little bit. So if you haven't heard about Blue Zones, just in case, you probably have, but just in case, for those of you who, you've been reading nonstop coronavirus stats and kind of forgot, Dan traveled to these hotspots in the world, these longevity hotspots in the world. So he traveled to these places that have a high proportion, an unusually high proportion of people living to 100 and beyond. And what he did was he tried to figure out, okay, well, what do these places have in common? And there's a few different places, Nicoya, Costa Rica, a place that I've been to, Okinawa, Japan, Loma Linda, California, Icaria, Greece, and Sardinia, Italy. I think I might have messed one of those up, but Google it or check out the book. It's been a while since I read about this stuff. But one of the rules that he shares that I wanted to highlight for you is the idea that these cultures, it's not that they're eating some perfect diet. It's not that they're doing all this exercise, but they have these other habits that as Americans, as modern folks, is what I should say, as modern people in the modern world, we don't like to talk about, we don't like to deal with, we don't like to talk about it. Because it's just like, man, if you tell me a workout, man, I can go and do that. You tell me what to eat, I can go and buy the food, then I can eat that today. But if you tell me, like, you know, put my family first, what does that even mean, right? And so let's jump into it. So what he found was, and there's other research, but I just like telling the Blue Zones story of this. He found that successful centenarians in the Blue Zones put their families first. Now, what does that mean? Because a lot of Americans, a lot of Western folks, my dad did this. A lot of us say, well, I go to work every day. I work 45, 50, 60 hour weeks so I can take care of my family. I do it all for my family. Everything I do is for my family. So that is not what we're talking about here, okay? That's not what we're talking about. Putting your kids into private school, making sure they have the best tennis coaches and the best dance instructors, that's all great as part of their skill development, as part of their, you know, personal development. But what we're talking about is this. What these centenarians in Blue Zones do is they keep aging parents and grandparents nearby or in the home. Okay? They keep their families close. And there's actually research that shows that it lowers disease rates and death. And it does this for everyone, including the children in your home. So keeping your family close, right? Spending time with your family, making sure you're close to them. And I want to ask you, when I say that, I want you to think about your family situation. Do you keep your family close? Is your family in and around your area? Are they within a drive away? Or are they a state away or a country away? How far away is your family and your your parents and grandparents if they're still alive? And I want to share something about this because I grew up, my dad actually had my grandparents move in with us. And I didn't really get to connect with them that well. They were quite old when I was pretty young. So I didn't really get to connect with them that well, but it was just nice having grandpa and grandma around. Interesting though, my dad said, it was a mistake doing that. Because what ended up happening is my granddad got dementia and died. And then a few years later, my grandmother went the same route. She got dementia and died as well. And unfortunately, my dad died October 3rd, 2020. So I'll never have a chance to really ask him more about this situation. Like, what do you mean you made a mistake? What was it about that? Right? And I think about that. And I also think about, if you haven't been following my journey, I've been living outside the United States for the past 3 years. And I spent all of 2018 and all of 2019 in Asia, mostly in Thailand. But I went to Bali, I went to Vietnam, I went to Malaysia, I went to Hong Kong, I went to Cambodia, I went to Bali? I went to a lot of different places in Southeast Asia, Singapore, so many countries, because it's once you're out there, it's easy to hop around on flights. And that's what everybody does there who travels. And one of the things that I noticed is that these people really put family first. Money is not first. And I would argue that Americans do not put family first. They put money first and say they're putting family first by focusing on money because we're all so crazy with the economic situation. We're all trying to put our kids, we're all trying to buy a better house in a better neighborhood, put our kids through private school and dance class and, you know, all the different things that we do, and we end up not being able to spend quality time with them because of that. And my dad, that's what I grew up with. That's what my dad did. and certainly appreciated a lot of the luxuries really that we were afforded as children. But what I really needed and what your children really need is you, your relationship, your time with them, right? Quality time. Doesn't have to be all your time, but it's got to be quality time. And I want to ask you, how does that sound as a longevity trick or secret? It's like, oh, don't tell me that, because it's so easy to go and start exercising or to buy the superfoods and tell me what supplements to buy. I'll buy it. Give me a promo code. I'll type it in now. I'll get it. Right? But the thing is, but when we talk about our relationships, we're like, oh man, how do I even address that whole can of worms? How do I fix the relationship with my parents? How do I become a better parent? Right? How do I be a better friend? Now that is tough. But I want to tell you this, we're going to be talking on this podcast about supplements you can take, and certainly we'll go down a little bit of a rabbit hole with exercise and what foods to eat and that type of thing. But I want to tell you, if you want results in life, you've got to pay for them. You can't just, hey, tell me real quick, what's a supplement I can buy that, you know, is going to really change the game for me. Okay, here it is. Oh, okay, I go and buy it. Okay, now I've done my work now. I exercise, I try to eat well, whatever that means, and I take my supplements. I'm doing well. And I'm here to tell you, raise your standards and open your mind. Because what I'm looking at now is not the biological aspects of health, because a lot of it is really straightforward. The two big things you can do is exercise consistently, meaning do something every day. And the second thing you can do is maintain a healthy body fat percentage. So if you're overweight, if you're obese, get down to a healthy body fat percentage. Get down to what's considered a low risk or healthy weight. And if you're not there right now, then focus on that. But all the supplements, listen, I take a bunch of supplements, okay? Not gonna lie. But what I'm saying, and I'm not telling you not to take your vitamin C, your vitamin D, your zinc, your, you know, ashwagandha, your NAD, and all those other things. I'm telling you to stop the madness for a second. Stop doing what you're comfortable with and look at the things that you're uncomfortable, that make you uncomfortable. Your social relationships and your relationships with your family. Because this is something that you can't out-exercise. You can't out-supplement. Okay. You can't out-supplement or out-exercise stressful relationships or broken relationships or dysfunctional relationships. And one of the things that I saw in Asia that really changed this for me, and I wish everyone could go on the journey that I went to experience these things, to really learn it and see it in action. But when I was in Bali, they all live in these what are called villages. Google Balinese architecture. These incredible village structures. They call them villages, but they're like a series of these houses, and there's a temple in each housing complex, and just the crazy, beautiful, exotic architecture, just elaborate architecture in carvings in stone and sometimes in wood, just incredible. And the entire family lives in these little complexes. And when I was having these conversations with Balinese people, it was fascinating because a lot of people speak English there because of the tourism that's been going on for a while. They said, what we do is we help everyone in our village. We help build their house. So they all help build each other's houses. Now that is some serious community. That is some serious investment in relationships. And they keep the family close. Grandma's there, grandpa's there. They stay close with each other. And they're not working out in the gym or super fit. And I don't know what the death rate is in Bali. Probably not great because there's a lot of cigarette smoking there. But I'll tell you, these people, they give off a different vibe than your average family from the UK, from the USA, from Canada, from other places. It's just a different vibe. There's more peace. There's more happiness. There's more connection is probably the best word I could say. There's more connection, more security, because they know they're in it together. Versus, I think about even my cousin. I love my cousin dearly. He's in San Antonio with his wife and two kids. His brother is in Atlanta, Georgia with his wife and their three kids. And their parents are in Alabama. Forget which city, but they're in Alabama. They're all spread out. And his parents, their health has fallen apart badly. And it's seeing these things after traveling, like you see the problem, it becomes so obvious. And the same thing's true in Thailand. And one thing I want to say here is I'm not trying to romanticize Asian cultures or Southeast Asian cultures because they have their share of problems. But one thing they get right is they get the community right. They get the community aspect right. For those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time, you may remember of me talking about episodes of road rage that I had when I was living in Miami and Miami Beach specifically, and driving to clients and the tourists are in the way, and you know, it's a crazy driving in Miami. And February 12th, 2018, I moved to Thailand, and road rage, the incidence of road rage is so low over there. It just blew my mind. And I'm what you could say, I don't want to say cured of road rage, because I think if I were in a really stressful environment and had to go back to my same life, it would probably come back. But I've changed my environment enough, I changed my relationship to it enough that I don't have the road rage anymore. Even when I'm driving and the traffic gets bad, I don't have road rage anymore. And it's these aspects of the cultures that I've seen, more cultures that are more in touch with the natural, let's say, order of things, for lack of a better way of putting it, because these cultures, they're ancient. Balinese culture is ancient compared to American culture, for sure. And I know the UK is an ancient place, but the culture of the UK, the modern culture of the UK is not so ancient, right? Everyone's on their cell phones and arguing about politics, just like your average American. So at least that's been my experience. What I'm getting at here is if we know that our relationships with our family, it can help us fight disease and live longer, and that's proven, just like exercise is proven for your health, that's the conversation that I want to have more of. And I'm not saying if your parents are, I had some clients who had really rough relationships with their parents. I'm not saying, hey, if your parents are what you might call deadbeats or completely nuts or have substance abuse issues, I'm not saying, hey, go move them into your house. That's not the point of what I'm saying here. What I'm saying, though, is because it may not even be, some research shows it's not even necessarily having that family that's going to help you live longer. It's about having a support network. It's having real close relationships, because loneliness is a killer. Social isolation and loneliness is a killer. You're going to hear more and more about that as time goes on. And we're already hearing more about that because of all the loneliness and the feelings of loneliness and social isolation that happened during the quarantine, during 2020. And just to define those two very briefly for you, social isolation is actually physically being alone. And we know that's a problem. So like my dad, he wasn't by himself. We moved him into a community. Well, he was by himself for a while, but he had someone come in every day to tend to his medical issues. And that's been happening for the past, I don't know, year or so. But it was only for 30 minutes to an hour each time. And then he was alone again. And we know that's an issue. And you should have seen the look on my dad's face when I tried to explain to him some of the, like, because he was struggling with a lot of physical pain. And when I was trying to explain to him things like loneliness affecting inflammation and causing your body to hurt, or stress levels causing your body to hurt, or lack of sleep causing your body to hurt, he just couldn't get it. And what I'm here to tell you, I'm here to help you get it, or at least to present the information for you, so you don't become the person who's like, oh, my body's hurting. I don't know why. I exercise and I do this and I take my, you know, anti-inflammatories and I take my curcumin and I take my collagen and I take all this stuff and still I have these issues. It's like, yeah, because biology only goes so far. We need to start having the conversation about how the outside gets inside, how stress gets inside our bodies, how the stress of being alone gets inside our bodies, how the stress of having poor relationships gets inside our bodies. There's not enough education about that. There's not enough talk about that. And bringing it back to what I was mentioning with all the longevity stuff earlier, everybody wants to sell you on the idea that's all, hey, fix your gut microbiome. Hey, you know, eat these superfoods. Hey, you know, cut out sugar out of your diet. Hey, do some exercise. It's like, yeah, okay. But there's some serious limitations to what you can do there. Once you dial in the 20% that gives 80% of the results, there's not that much more you can do. And one of the goals this year for me is to help you understand the 20% in the other areas of your life, that in the psychological aspects, in the social aspects of your life, that will give you that 80% boost. That's my goal this year. I'm not going to get rid or stop talking about the biology, but I'm going to include this other stuff. And I want you, at least I hope, I would like you to take it more seriously. And I don't mean nodding your head in agreement, say, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Relationships. Oh, managing stress. Oh yeah. So important. Being a better person, all that type of stuff. Communication skill. Oh yeah. I'm nodding my head. No, I mean taking action on it. I had a great conversation with a client a few months ago, and I shared this conversation. So forgive me if you remember it, but I was having a conversation with a client, and this guy, he's in great shape. He's in his 50s. He does these bike races. He's super cardiovascularly fit. And he's been a client for years. He's lost a bunch of weight with me. He's under 200 pounds now, not under 100, under 200 pounds. And he was telling me the story about how he took a trip to Yellowstone Park, and he took it with his boys. And he ended up meeting a guy there when he was camping there and having this great conversation. And I forget all the details of the conversation, and they're not super important to you. But what is important is he was like, man, I really felt like he was living life, like he was in the moment, like he was connecting with a like-minded person. Like, I want to ask you, have you ever had those conversations with people? You spent time with your friends, your family, could be either one, and you came away, maybe you didn't even sleep that well, but you woke up the next morning feeling amazing. You were like, man, that was such an awesome time. God, I need to do more of that. And then what happens? You don't do more of that, but you wake up the next day and you go work out and you eat you go back to your diet and all those things, but you don't say, hey, listen, I really felt like that was healthy for me, even though I didn't sleep well. Cause I'll sleep well sometimes, quote unquote, well, sometimes air quotes, well, sometimes, and I'll wake up and I'll still feel tired, but I hung out with my friends last night or my family last night, and I woke up and I just felt amazing. I know you felt that. And what he said, that's the kind of feeling that he shared, right? And he was like, oh yeah, it was so cool. And I said, Rich, what if you started approaching your social life like you approach your workouts? So you hit the gym. I mean, this guy rides his bike every day, and he's in great shape. But in that other area, he's got some work to do, like so many of us, myself included. And I said, what if you started approaching your social life the way you approach your workouts, and you called it your health regimen? It was part of your health routine. You know, we have all these regimens we do, these routines. We hit the gym, we do our cardio, we lift the weights, we take our supplements, we eat our superfoods, down our greens powder, our Organifi, or whatever you're taking, right? And we have a routine about it, and we don't mess with it. But when it comes to those other aspects of our life, we don't look at it in the same way. And one thing that I hope I can do for you is help to bring some awareness on, like, hey, listen, this is where some major progress can be made. And we're not just talking about improvements to your health, but really feeling like, you know what? Life is amazing in spite of the coronavirus, in spite of the struggles I'm having, in spite of the challenges of this virus and this, you know, the uncertainty that we're all facing in the world. Like, life is amazing. The people I'm surrounded by is amazing. And I'm so glad that I started investing more in my relationships with other people. I'm so glad that I invested more time and energy and possibly money into improving my relationships with my partner, with my children, with my parents, making new friends, because this will help you live longer and better. And I think I'm kind of talked out on that, but I want you to understand that this is something that is proven by science, proven by research. They've actually done studies on this stuff, and it shows that it's effective. It shows that it works. It shows that it's a major needle mover. It's not shining infrared light on your testicles, hoping that it's going to give you a couple, you know, months extra life or whatever, which it doesn't, by the way, or taking medicinal mushrooms or jumping in freezing water or any of the other things. And I'm not saying that if you found something that works for you, I'm not saying stop doing it. I'm only asking you to consider, hey, listen, what am I having to do? What are the results that I'm getting? And where are the other aspects? What are the other aspects of my life that need work that, you know, I could be doing work there instead of procrastinating, trying to breathe in this molecular hydrogen? And one other thing I want to say, so often we talk about becoming a better person and really challenging ourselves to grow. And I think everyone listening to this, especially if you've been listening for a long time, you're on board with that idea. But what's fascinating is that we all buy into the idea of it when we pay lip service to it, we talk about it. But when we're faced with the opportunity to do something uncomfortable, we say no. One of the things that happens on the calls, I'm not taking clients at the moment, but I will be eventually, and I'll start doing these breakthrough calls again. And one of the things that happened, now some people aren't right for my program. Either I know they're struggling too much financially, it's just not a good fit for them, or they're too stressed out, they're too all over the place, and they're looking for someone to fix their life, when reality, I don't fix your life. I help you fix your life. I help you stay accountable and certainly give you solid strategies to fixing your health. But one thing that happens occasionally, I'll get a client who's very well qualified, and when it comes to signing up to the program, they get really uncomfortable. And all they think about is, I'm going to sign up to this program. I'm going to lose money, right? Because that's all people think about is money losing leaving their bank account, not about what they get in return. At least people at a certain level, that's how they think. And they get really uncomfortable. And they want to say no. And they try to find reasons. Oh, it's not a good time. You know, I don't have the money. And I'll even ask, do you mean you don't have the money on a credit card or in your bank account, or you just don't feel, or you do have the money, but you don't feel like that would be a good use of the money that you have? Oh, people hate that question. Why? Because it's honesty and because people don't want to face it. And, you know, some people, probably the majority actually, because I do a fair bit to really qualify people. I don't want to hop on a phone call with you unless I really think you're going to be a good fit for the program. But a lot of people, what they do is it's like, listen, do you understand how the choices that you made in your life have gotten you to a certain point, and you're looking for the next level? And there is no growth without embracing the discomfort that you feel. So if you're more convinced than not that I'm the right guy, but you're coming up with excuses about why you shouldn't sign up with me, you're saying no to the next level and you're saying yes to being stuck. Does that make sense? Another example, that you might find a little less self-serving for me. Although I'll tell you, I'm not, again, not taking clients right now. We all pay lip service to this idea that it's through discomfort. Sorry, that strong ginger tea is really taking its effect on my vocal cords and throat. So we pay lip service to this idea. Oh, yeah, get outside your comfort zone. Yeah, you got to get outside your comfort zone. I went and worked out today. It was uncomfortable. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about physical discomfort. We're talking about psychological discomfort. Again, the psychological aspects of health, that biopsychosocial approach. You've got to conquer those psychological obstacles, those challenges, those demons, if you will. And they're different for everyone. And I want to give a personal example. So you may or may not know, I have a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I've done a bunch of tournaments, not a world champion, but I've won more tournaments than I lost. And people, when they find out that you do MMA style training and you've competed in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, they'll say, oh my gosh, wow, that's so hardcore. Oh, that's so scary. You know, the fighting and doing all that. You know, a lot of guys who lift weights, they won't even do it because they're afraid. They're afraid of what it'll do to getting hurt. They're afraid of what it'll do to their ego. And what I'm getting at is, even though I was a guy who, and I was initially scared when I joined Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I was scared when I did my, I wasn't scared of joining Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I was scared when I did my first tournament. I walked into the tournament and some dude had his knee snapped, right? If you don't know what Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is, it's not punching and kicking, it's joint locks and chokes and takedowns. So this dude got his knee snapped and I was like, oh my God, what have I signed up for? But I got over that and then I got comfortable with it. So it was no longer, it was a physical challenge and certainly some psychological discomfort doing tournaments. They're pretty stressful to train for and you want to win, but it became very like it was routine. It became more routine, right? But one thing in my life that was really challenging me and I was afraid to tackle is my communication skills, speaking. I was deathly afraid of getting up and doing public speaking, but I knew it was part of the key to my business. In fact, now you're probably listening to this. You probably would never know I was deathly afraid of public speaking. You probably never knew that I, had massive social anxiety and my heart would pound uncontrollably when I would do a talk for people or even think about doing a talk for people. And so what I'm trying to illustrate here is you need to look at the area if you want to, and I want to qualify that you need to statement. You don't need to do anything, but if you want to reach the next level, what you need to do, you don't need to do anything in your life, but to achieve certain results, you need to do certain things. So if you're looking to get to that next level, I would ask you, how comfortable are you struggling with the exercise thing? Meaning if you're struggling psychologically, oh, I'm overweight, I'm out of shape, I don't know what I'm doing in the gym. If I go there, people are just going to look at me and make fun of me when the reality is nobody cares. They're all, paying attention to what they're doing or on their phones. Nobody's thinking or looking at you at all. Even if they look at you, they're probably just thinking about whatever, thinking about something in their life. So, okay, fine. Then that's a worthy goal to shoot for, right? And, I'm not telling you to go to a gym right now with the coronavirus spiking and everything, only if you feel comfortable with it. But what I'm saying is you got to dial in, you got to be self-aware enough to know what are the challenges that are going to give you the biggest benefit. And for so many of us, we stay stuck in our comfort zone. And we look at people who work out all the time and we're like, yeah, man, you work out all the time. Well, I wish it could be like you. When in reality, that dude's just in his comfort zone. That's kind of like saying, wow, man, wow, you brush your teeth and shower every morning and use the bathroom. Whoa, what a routine you have. The reality is that person, that woman, that man, they're super comfortable with their routine. It's not a challenge anymore. In fact, they go there and they feel like, oh, I'm super comfortable here. Everybody knows me and thinks I'm like the gym queen or the gym king, right? When in reality, they're just staying comfort. They're not being a badass. They're not challenging themselves. They're staying stuck. Does that make sense? And so where is that opportunity for you to grow? Are you the gym queen or king and you need to focus somewhere else? Or are you the, you know, the social person? Like, oh, I got so many friends. Like, I gotta, you know, I've got to cut back on my friends because everybody's calling me to hang out. But, you know, I'm really embarrassed to go to the gym. What is it? Or I don't know how to manage my stress. Where is that opportunity for you? Because that is where the biggest opportunity for growth is, for personal growth. And my argument here is it will lead to not just a better, more enjoyable life, but a longer, healthier life as well. So that's what I want you to think about. That's what I'm thinking about right now. And let's challenge ourselves. Let's challenge each other to really step up and make this happen. Let's really become the change that we want to see in the world. That's all I've got for you. Hope you enjoyed today. I got a lot more coming. Love you. Enjoy your weekend and speak to you on Monday.